We're gonna
Kathy
try
thinks
this.
We're live. Maybe we're live. We think we're live. We're not right. sure.
Is it
Hello,
really? Is it 134 or 135 today? I think it's 135.
134.
Oh, Jen, look at that. Working ahead.
It's impressive. All Welcome right. to Pathways Podcast, episode 134.
Hello.
It is Wednesday.
And we are live.
And we're
so
live.
That's good. Yep. Yes.
How was your week?
It was
a good weekend, wasn't it?
It was a great weekend.
It was
Definitely.
A great weekend for you?
A little fierce faith worship.
Yeah, it was a good
and...
weekend. Sure, absolutely.
Steve's like, every weekend's a good weekend. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
When you live victoriously,
I live in the moment.
Every right.
weekend. And every moment I try to make the most of. That's how I live my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so Sunday felt like really good message. Felt like worship was good.
That was a great message. Great worship.
Got to
great morning.
Send off the youth.
Send off the youth, yeah.
They're on their mission trip
they
right
are.
Now. And
Kansas City.
Have you had any updates? How are things going?
Good, yeah. I talked to Nathan last night, and so it was going well, and he's
good.
Doing good. So
bless the men.
Lots of gardening and like pulling weeds, I think. So at least for his group. So that's been good, yeah.
Yeah, it was Father's Day also.
Father's Day.
Yes, Father's Day.
Did you guys do anything special for Todd for Father's Day?
Yeah, we went to the music festival. That's what we did. My parents came over for supper. We went to his parents the day before. So,
So nothing special or
but not for Todd.
You're stammering over there, Marcy.
Yeah, I know. Every day is Father's Day for
Every
Todd.
Every day is Father's Day for Todd. Yes.
I was listening to K-Love and they had this big discussion about how Father's Day is one of those days that just kind of goes but comes up and people are like, "Nah, you know, they forget about it and like at the last minute they're like, oh, it's Father's Day. We have to scramble and do something.
That's right. Yep.
Let's all get together and have a barbecue and Dad can cook.
That's right. That sounds like a great idea.
Yes.
Because man cooking meat over an open flame is as good as it gets.
Sounds pretty manly.
We actually did a breakfast supper.
Oh, that was good.
I made bacon.
Good.
Yeah.
Lots of bacon. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
A lot of components to making bacon.
I do it in the air fryer. It's great. It's the best bacon you can make is in the air fryer.
Good.
Yeah.
I make it in the oven.
I like my bacon.
I got
bacon,
that idea from Kathy. Thanks, Kathy.
I don't like it I don't like it crispy, and I like it really greasy.
So oh, no, I like it really crispy.
You like it chewy?
Extra crispy.
Not chewy, but not crispy.
Not like crispy, but like hard enough that it kind of breaks a little bit.
I like it to the point where if I hold it up on one end, it starts to sag a little, but not like immediately.
And you bite into
That's
it,
pretty
and you
picky.
Can feel the grease come out.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty particular.
Yeah.
On the bacon.
Still has to be spongy enough to soak up the grease. And I don't use, I love bacon grease, too. So if I could, I would, after
Capture
I was
the
done,
bacon
I
grease.
Would just let it cool in the grease. And then you could just sop up the grease.
Do you use the bacon grease to cook other things?
Yes,
that's the question.
We do.
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah. That's like liquid gold.
Yep.
It's great.
So
Father's Day.
If you're on the keto diet, I mean, that's very keto friendly. You
it's
know,
a good
we're conditioned
on
to
the
say
keto
that,
diet.
That fat's bad for you, but not all fat is created equal. So, anyway.
It's delicious.
It's delicious.
Fierce Faith concert.
Yeah, it was
also
great.
Sunday. You said that, you know, you guys went there for Father's Day.
We did. Yeah, we went there for Father's Day. That was how we celebrated.
I think
clearly.
They had a count of over 400 people.
Yeah.
Came to that.
I think.
And,
so that was great.
Yeah, it was good.
A great afternoon.
If
and
people,
it, there was
if
a
people
breeze.
Were turned away because of the heat, or they didn't want to go because of the heat, in my opinion, that was a non-factor.
Right. There was shade, and there was a great breeze, and it wasn't as hot as
I was
maybe
for
we
the
thought
for all
it was
of Sean
be.
Foyt. I was in front of the stage in the sun dancing.
That's you were there. Mm-hmm. You were right out there dancing. I was like, "There's Steve." Yep, got my hold the line T-shirt. Little Sean Foyt.
Okay.
So, yep.
I
it's good
being pale skinned and redheaded. Formerly, I scoped out the shade where it would come as the
there
afternoon
you go.
Went on, and
yep.
we started in the sun for about a half hour, and then the shade caught up to us. So
yep.
it was good.
Good.
It was good. Good day.
Well done. Well done by the board.
Yes. Great job,
the crew.
Fierce Faith board.
A lot of hard work.
Somebody said that, you know, in the morning
when
they got there, the place needed a lot of work.
Yep.
Yep.
I need a little cleanup.
They put in a lot of time before people showed up, and, you know, God bless them. It was a wonderful experience. I was wondering about the whole downtown thing, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
And it was even neat how, you know, Sean Foy referenced, you know, worshiping in front of the front of the Capitol building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In front of the you know, county building. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
No, it was just a good night, a good day of fellowship and worshiping together and getting our cups filled.
It was. So, it was great.
Friday Night Fire did great. Sean Foyt did great. Micah Tyler did great. Yep. So, I'm excited for next year.
I know. It'll be good.
To see what they bring to town.
See what happens. So.
Yeah, when they actually have a little time to plan. And
exactly.
Promote.
A little more time to get ready.
They didn't have much time for this.
No, they kind of threw it together and trusted God in the midst of all of it, and it all came together.
And I think if you talk to the people who were there that morning, like, all the things that they were up against, Nick Cummins actually said, you know, the devil tried his hardest not to make this happen, but God provides a way.
He does. So,
it was good.
That's right.
All right.
Very good.
Well, should we go into the message from Sunday?
Yeah.
We were in Colossians 3, in case you were wondering.
Colossians 3, I know. You were very excited to get into Colossians 3, so it was a very good text, very good message.
Yeah, I thought so. There was something about, I don't know, just the whole day of worship starting out with our worship team at church on Sunday. It was just, felt like the Spirit was moving. It was good.
Yeah, agreed. It's a good day.
Yeah. I see you have your notes.
I do have my
notes. I didn't have to bring them up for you this time.
You got them. No, you didn't. I do have them. Thank you, Aaron. Yes, I found them all on my own, which I still don't know how I didn't get to that page last time, but anyway.
It's okay. We live, we learn.
Yep.
So what stuck out to you, Marcy, on Sunday from Steve's message out of Colossians 3?
Well, I think that just to start at the beginning, because what better place to start? But kind of that whole opening idea of as a believer in Christ, as a Christian, are you bearing fruit? Hmm. And what does that look like in the life of a believer? And then, you know, you kind of went into that whole idea of temptation and how temptation is not the sin, and God doesn't tempt us, but it's when we step into it that's when we sin. And so, you know, looking at that idea that God doesn't tempt us, he teaches us to trade, and he teaches us something in the whole process. And so, you know, I think as you look at the Colossians text, and one of the very first verse says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. And it's just that question of where do you look? Mm-hmm. And what are you setting your sights on? And are you growing? Are you bearing fruit? Or are you getting swayed by temptation? And you know, that's a question that we all have to look at for ourselves. And especially as in this text, he goes through and lists a lot of sins specifically, which we'll talk about, but, you know, he gets into that list. But one of the things in that too, that I think I've appreciated about this text is in verse 5, he says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. And there's this idea you put to death.
Right.
So as we talk about position and condition, which we have last week, and then you touched on it again this week, the reality is that when we're in Christ, we are positionally made right with God. And we're in that positionally where our sins have been atoned for. They have been, you know, justified before God, like we are made right with God, but yet we have this sinful condition. And so how do we step more fully into that life with Christ and in that process of sanctification? And, you know, I think that just that idea, so you put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. There's that implied, who's supposed to do it? You're supposed to do it. And,
we have
to step into that.
And the primary way in which you do it is you trust the Lord. I mean, that's the part that's difficult, in that you have to believe that as you resist temptation, that there's something better.
Right.
Right. It's not life with God is not this life of denial.
Mm-hmm.
It's a life of fulfillment. And so we can get to this point with God where in our mind, it's all about denying, deny, 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 deny. And there are certain things that are sinful and must be denied, mm-hmm. right? But it's not denial without anything in return. Mm-hmm. It's denial. So it goes all the way back to even Deuteronomy when he talks about, I put before you both blessings and curses. Please choose blessing because that mm-hmm. leads to life, whereas curses lead to death. Mm-hmm. And so we've always got life and death in front of us, and it really comes down to our choices. Mm-hmm. And so the more we choose the good things of God, the more life we're supposed to get in return.
Right. Right.
So in the moments of temptation, we're confronted with a choice. Mm-hmm. Right? And we can fix our eyes on Jesus and choose a godly decision, a God-honoring decision, one that lines up with truth in Scripture, or we can make a decision that maybe is worldly or selfish in nature, or temporarily scratching an itch mm-hmm. that is, again, not God-honoring. And so what do you do in that moment? And I think the preparation up to the moment of temptation, like, have I been in the Word? Have I been worshiping God? Have I been in prayer? Like, because when those temptations come, we're going to fall back on what we fill ourselves with the most, I think. And, you know, you think about, for and I'll use men as an example. Lust is a sin that a lot of men struggle with, and even the thought of your gaze, right? Your gaze of looking at mm-hmm. a pretty woman or a beautiful woman, like there can be temptation to let your mind wander there. So what do you do in that moment? And for me, what I do is I fix my eyes on my wife.
Yeah.
And like, if that temptation comes to be like, oh, look at this. It's like, no, you know what? I am so thankful for my wife. She's so beautiful and I love her so much. Thank you, God. And I actually go into a praising God moment where I get to praise God for my wife. And it's almost like the devil or the enemy tries to use this strategy to get me to drift into temptation. But what it does is it actually draws me closer to God. It's,
absolutely, mm-hmm. and if the opposite is true, if you know, and if you're not married and there's no righteous outlet for you to deal with those temptations, then you've got to figure out something else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the ways is you think about a future wife. Mm-hmm. And I told my boys, I said, you know, honoring your spouse begins, I think, before you know them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's
good point.
And that's a big part of and who knows, maybe there's not, I don't know. Cause actually celibacy, singleness, is a spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul talks about he actually says it's better to not marry. Mm-hmm. Which most people are like, well, how does that work? But it is, there's a spirituality and there's a relational aspect of God that for a lot of people, singleness, you know, our society kind of cast down on it, but it's actually a higher form of relational spirituality if you're able to do that. So the long and short of it is that, you know, Scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that temptations are not more than we can handle. God will give us a way out. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be seeking that way out that God has given you to deal with whatever your temptations are. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the discipline too.
Yep.
You know, in your case, God's given you a wife.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a big part of it. In other cases, it could be something else. It could be, you know, the old, I knew a pastor one time said that if you're anybody that battles lust before you give into it, try to do as many push-ups as you can. To do push-ups to exhaustion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, you know, if you have to go walk around the block, go walk a half mile. And mm-hmm. his whole thing is that, you know, channel it into something that is more helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's use greed as an example, because mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty common temptation or sin in American culture is, you know, we covet what everybody else has and we want more and more and more. And so for me and my wife, the way to combat greed has been to be generous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talked about being generous. Am I generous? And if you're not going to be generous with the church, be generous with something that's God-honoring and Christ-centered. And so, and it's been, it's freeing when you're generous and you don't have, you really don't have to worry about money because
and you should be anonymously generous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if people know about it and it brings honor to God, great, but you shouldn't give to bring honor to yourself.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, but most people I know that are truly generous, a lot of people don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You're not doing it for personal accolades. You're doing it. You're doing it to out of faithfulness, mm-hmm. and so that's the thing. And I mean, they, you know, one of the lines that they always say is that character is always about what you do when nobody else is looking. Mm-hmm. You know, it's how do you act, how do you behave, and you know, if you're going to be a generous person, you're a generous person because that's who you are, not because you want to make other people think you're generous,
right? Mm-hmm.
Right. I actually, you know, I hate talking about the generosity that like Vicky and I do. I don't like to talk about it because I, for that very purpose, but at the same time as a pastor, I think the people need to know, mm-hmm. you know, so we don't talk about anything specific, but we talk about just generalities because I think for a lot of people that don't live or weren't raised to be generous, they just don't know what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they don't understand. There's people out there that give thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. And, you know, and you would not expect who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, take the new worship center, for example, that we worship in every mm-hmm. Sunday. The only reason that exists is because of generous people mm-hmm. in this church that Absolutely. Have given sacrificially and anonymously, you know, mm-hmm. But I mean, like that should speak to us. I mean, if I'm someone that comes into church on a Sunday and I'm not generous, I don't give. It's like, now wait a second. Like, the only reason you can come into this space right here today is because of the sacrificial giving of so many people. And I always love the line that you give, and I haven't heard it in a while. But it's, you know, what if everybody gave like me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Would this church even exist? Mm-hmm. Would we have church on Sunday? You know, what if everybody served like me? Mm-hmm. Would we have church on Sunday? Because would we have tech people? Would we have children's ministry volunteers? Yeah. You know, and mm-hmm. I just love those questions because it's a heart check and it's a reality check.
Well, you know, so you cute and yes, put it in a church, but put it in any context too. So we had a restaurant that just announced they were closing in Pella. And they announced on social media, and it's just fascinating because you see all the posts. Oh, that's too bad. Oh, mm-hmm. well, you know, oh, what a shame. And you just want to say, when's the last time mm-hmm. that you went there and you actually had dinner? Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, in order for things to continue, there has to be support. Mm-hmm. There has to be. And, you know, for a lot of things, and in many cases, and in a church, the idea is that people are, so the church is not the building. The building is a tool mm-hmm. that the church uses. So we use a building to gather in, but the church is the people. And if the people are not being generous and perpetuating the, you know, fulfilling the mission that God has given them, mm-hmm. then how long does the church stick around?
Yeah, how long does it last?
You know, a lot of churches, unfortunately, are just this shell of what they once were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really doesn't need to be that way. People need to change the way they look at living their life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't want to be a greedy person.
Yeah, and again, it's like, if you don't want to give to a church, fine. Give somewhere. Give somewhere to some kingdom advancement mission purpose in this world because they need it mm-hmm. and the only way they're able to function, the only way they're able to provide services to pregnant women and their mm-hmm. community is because of donations. The only way they're able to send missionaries to third world countries to spread the gospel is because of people who give. You know, the only way they can get clean water is because people, there's so many things going on, but the only way they're able to exist is because of generous people.
Yeah.
So
see, and I give the major portion of my, of Vicky and I give the major portion of our giving to the church because I see, I see who we reach.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's right. Important. And for a lot of people, maybe they're not involved enough. You know, if you're listening and you know, who does your church minister to?
Right.
And that's all big, you know, a lot of people just don't know. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's hard to tell people what we do without like almost exploiting the people we do it for, right? Mm-hmm. So much of what we do is anonymous. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we do talk in generalities of where the giving goes and what all we do. And
I thought that was one of the really good points that you pointed out on Sunday too, was just that idea that as a church, we tithe. And that tithe is through benevolence, and whether that's towards individuals that
need rent,
come
or
to the church, or
electrical, you know, utility help, or whatever it is,
or that organizations within our community, and more on a global basis, that we help that are advancing the gospel and you know, have that like-minded mission of what we do. And so I think it's good for people to know that we also tithe as a church, and it is going back out into the community and all of that too.
You know, I figured out, so, you know, I mean, if you look at us as a church, 13 years of existence, you can go back and give and take a look at what we've given and what we've poured out and literally into the community of Newton and the surrounding area. The Way has poured over $600,000 in 13 years into the region. And, you know, that number will only continue.
Right.
And by God's grace, it'll increase. So that's a perfect example of how, you know, the body of Christ comes together and we can be generous together.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
One of the other statistics that I thought is kind of somewhat alarming was that you mentioned how within American society in general, how giving is less than 2% and how that number has actually gone down over time. And I think that that just shows our hearts as people, you know, and just where we're at of, you know, how generous are we and what are we giving towards? And are we building up our own little storehouses, or are we generously giving and contributing to things that are going on within our community and the world? And so, you know, I think that
it's such a farce and it's a lie that we've all bought into, that the more you have, the happier you will be.
Right. That's a
and
big
it's
lie.
Just not, it's not true.
Nope. It's not true at
all. And you know, you think about when you buy something, like you get excited, like, oh man, look, I got a new watch, I got a new vehicle, like this is super exciting. How long does it take for the excitement to wear off?
Right.
Not very long.
Yep.
And then guess what? It's a used car.
Right.
It's an old watch.
Yep. Depreciates fast. You have more stuff to manage. All of the things.
Yeah. And I brought this up on Sunday at the Fierce Faith concert, like, Look at the people that have achieved the American dream in our eyes, right? Right, these people of fame, fortune, followers on Instagram or social media—they have it all, according to the American dream, and yet there is a void that they can't fill, and it's because they're trying to fill the void of Christ in their life with stuff, with selfish desires. And again, why is it that overdoses are on the rise? Overdose deaths in America are on the rise. And it's not just like a little bit. It's a sharp increase. Why is it that suicides over the last 10 years, we've seen it increase? I mean, we're trying to fill this void with,
you know,
stuff.
So yesterday, you guys are both, we were all at the same funeral. And that was what, you know, kind of struck me, was the a beloved member of our congregation passed away. And, you know, she was this amazing woman that really, by worldly standards, didn't really do anything other than take care of her family and make them feel honored, valuable, and make their house a home. And, you know, a life of sacrifice, in other words, basically service, sacrifice, all these things. What's weird is every single person on earth knows that those are the best people.
Yep.
The people who sacrifice, the people who serve, the people that go out of their way to make other people feel better and to help other people. We all know that those are the best people. But we don't necessarily strive to be that way. And we just kind of take for granted that those people are always in our lives. And you know what? They're not. They're not always in our lives. And you can almost make the argument that to some degree, those people are becoming less. But that's, you want to be an exceptional person in your culture, in your area of life. Become a generous person, not not just financially, but just of your time. Become sacrificial, you know, live to help others. And it's amazing the impact you can have. And that funeral was packed with people. In the middle of the day. I was struck by, in the middle of the day, 10 o'clock in the morning on a weekday, that funeral home was full.
I'm pretty sure I got the last seat.
I saw you in the back.
I was like, I'm taking that seat.
The only reason why I got a seat is because mine was reserved in the front.
Yours was reserved way up front. I was way in the back.
But no, I mean, but that's just a good testament to a life well lived. So being giving and generous.
I don't know if this really falls into it or not, but you know, we talked about just how the weekend and the worship, but that really started on Thursday with the Sending Network gathering. And you know, one of the things, you know, we've kind of discussed is like being a part of the Sending Network is going to allow us to be even more generous as a church. And so, Marcy, congratulations.
Thanks.
Steve, congratulations. Ordained to be a minister of Word and Spirit.
Word and Spirit in the Sending Network.
In the Sending Network. And
now I can actually do some stuff around here.
Does that mean that you'll wear a robe and your words are extra holy?
I'm going to get colored shirts.
I think you should get a giant.
Start getting colored. I like my favorite color is black anyway. All I need is a. But the problem is I don't like to button the top button. So if you're going to wear a collared shirt, you really have to button the top button, and then you get the
It well.
Can we get you a turtle, a mock turtleneck that just has it painted on there?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I don't like turtlenecks either.
A dickie?
Oh my goodness.
I don't like it. I have a big neck, and I don't like it. So in my world, which is probably TMI for the people that are watching, I have to choose between a shirt that fits my body or my neck. If I get a shirt that fits my neck, it's really big on me. If I get a shirt that fits my body, I can't hardly button the top button.
That's why Hawaiian shirts are so nice. There's no top button.
I mean, who would button the top button on a Hawaiian shirt? That would be, I mean, I guess if you wear a tie.
A tie with a Hawaiian shirt, that would be awesome.
That would be pretty funny.
I want to see it. Also at the Sending Network, the gathering. So it was good. It was really neat. It was powerful worship because we had our worship teams combined. And I actually heard somebody say, man, I haven't seen worship like that in a while. It's been a while. Like, and it was good. You could feel the Holy Spirit's presence, and he was moving. And we got to, the representatives from the Way got to go on stage and lay hands on you, Marcy, and pray for you as you were ordained, right? As a minister of Word and Spirit. And
the first.
Congratulations.
What's the word I want to say? Additional ordination, because everybody else was a. Was a crossover ordination.
Right.
So the first official ordination of the Sending Network.
It'd
be forever.
A legend.
The first.
Could be a tribute question 25 years from now.
Are we going to have like a board or a plaque and we'll just put the names on there and Marcy's will be at the top?
No. No, we're not.
And I think we've discussed, like, you have a new official title, right? Reverend? Is that what we're going with?
No. Oh. I will say, though, that it was kind of a full circle moment. So the five churches that were there were Central from Oskaloosa, Celebrate in Knoxville, First from Pella, Third from Pella, and then us. And out of all those churches, it was kind of this full circle moment for me. And I had an interview last week, Monday, and with the board, and
you passed.
Kind
good
of,
job.
I did pass, yes, but kind of realized this whole full circle moment that I grew up at Central in Oskaloosa. That was my home church. And when I went through Tech, which is Teens Encounter Christ, and when I was in high school, and I would consider that kind of my all-in moment. Mm. And kind of that moment where I took my faith on for myself. It wasn't my parents' faith anymore. And at that, Andrew Schmidt, who's the pastor at Celebrate in Knoxville, had given the message. And that weekend was at First in Pella. And Todd and I met at Third. And we went to Third when we first got married. And obviously Third is the church that planted the Way. And mm-hmm. we're here at the Way. So I was like, this is just kind of a really full circle moment. Like, I just had all these connections with
it was meant
every
to be,
church
Marcy.
that was there. So
it was almost like God sovereignly
so
looked into your life. And he set the course of events.
It's almost like that.
It's like when little Marcy was born.
That's right.
God knew then.
That's right. Yep. So,
which is exactly how it is.
It is. That's exactly
how
God
works.
No,
I think that's great. So. And how better, you know, what better affirmation really for all those churches mm-hmm. in this particular moment in history.
Yeah.
Than that. I mean, then you, yeah. I mean, you know, and just to let people know, if you don't know, Marcy was ordained because she actually has a Master's of Divinity now from Fuller.
Yep, I graduated from Fuller last year in June, so it's been a year, and then I, it's kind of a long process, but I then waited to see what was going to happen with the denomination and didn't continue some of those classes
which is your
that
sec-
I was
it's your second
taking through the denomination.
Degree.
It is my second we're master's degree.
We're trying to encourage her to get her doctorate because we really want to call her the Reverend Dr. Milburn.
Doc Milburn. I do have a question. I have a question.
Yes.
I never saw your picture up on the graduation board that we do, you know.
Yeah, that's a really great point.
Yeah.
But I did graduate.
Or Jen's.
Jen graduated last year in June-ish.
And I believe I brought it up for this round and you guys refused.
You know, I didn't have that senior picture.
I've got some pictures.
I shouldn't say that because you'll come up.
You know what? Maybe I'll post them on our Facebook page.
Oh,
I got a couple
look,
of good
we're gonna
ones.
Celebrate that you graduated. But by now it's been a year ago, so
I've got one of you.
If we end up with
years.
An actual senior picture of you, would Todd be in trouble?
Todd might be in trouble. I could probably come up with one though. So
I bet there's an Albia yearbook somewhere that we
oh
can
yeah,
find.
I'm sure there is. Yep. There's a handful of people in Newton who a very small handful.
Okay.
I can think of two.
So that'd be what? That would be 98?
99.
Class of 99.
Class of 99. Yep.
Gonna party like
that's
it's
right.
1999.
That's right. Yep. That was was quite the song back in the day.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah. Anything else you want to touch on from Sunday?
That was a quick transition. That was a quick transition.
That was a quick transition.
Completely caught Marcy awkward.
Let me go to my notes. Let me swipe through my notes.
What else do you want to talk about for Sunday?
Oh, that's too funny.
Well, you gave us three points at the end, right, Steve? Sensuality, materialism, and negative emotions.
These are kind of the temptations, the areas of temptation that Paul focuses on.
What did you say for the last one?
Negative emotions.
Oh, I had ants. Your automatic negative thoughts.
Yeah.
So
same thing, right?
Kind of.
Where do I look and what are my thoughts? That's
see, so I had that manifested anger, emotions, actions, etc. And then do you look back down inside or do you look up? Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Well, it's like it's kind of like when Jesus says it's not what goes into you that defiles you, it's what comes out of you.
Right.
And because what comes out of you is a reflection of what's happening inside.
Right.
And so the temptation, the anger, the malice, all of these things, that's kind of a fruit of harboring temptations mm-hmm. and giving into sin. Mm-hmm. That's the fruit of sin. And so, yeah, I mean, so these are the things that you need to be mindful of. You need mm-hmm. to be mindful of, you know, am I courting sensuality? Am I allowing that to be a part of my life? And, you know, you think about the movies you watch. You think about the, you know, the songs you sing, the books you read, all of these things. am I allowing that into my life? And how am I dealing with materialism? And then finally, how is that all manifesting itself in the way that I behave?
Right.
Foul language, anger, you know, all the things that are part of it. The line, anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. So.
That's good.
Yep. But.
All right.
Anything else, tuned. Aaron?
I don't think so. I did write down
finishing
above
Colossians 3 on Sunday.
Above all, clothe yourselves in love.
Yep. That's good.
All you need is love.
Binds you together in perfect harmony.
All you need is love.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, that was a little delayed today.
Love is all you need.
Could not get through a podcast without Steve singing.
Nope.
Sacrificial agape love.
Right.
Divine. Only comes from God.
It's good.
And you talked about we're going to continue Colossians 3.
We are. Instructions for Christian households.
Yeah, I haven't really figured out how I'm going to do.
That is the next part of Colossians 3.
I may skip Colossians this week only because the services are not equal.
Right.
So I can't do the 9 o'clock. I can't do it justice in the 9 o'clock because we've got like
all the baptisms,
all the
and
baptisms
and rededications.
And
all
so
the
I'm still praying about what I'm going to do on Sunday. We may take a temporary break, or I may just briefly talk about something. But I have to have something different for the 11 o'clock and the 9 o'clock. And even though it still has to be the same, it has to be different. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And y'all don't need to know all that other than I'm just trying to limit expectations. Well, I don't want people thinking we're going
to
close out chapter 3 and then I show up and we don't even talk about it.
That's right. Yes. So right now Sunday is Celebration Sunday and we have baptisms and blessings and rededications and all of the things. We're talking, we're introducing new members and we're giving Bibles to our sixth graders who are going into seventh grade. And so we have lots of things coming up on Sunday. So, but with that, the majority of the blessings and baptisms and rededications and all the things are at the 9 o'clock service. So people know if you want to see.
It's going
to
be.
Participate
probably
in those baptisms to come at 9 o'clock.
Typically, family members and friends come in for those. So it's
9 o'clock
is going to be busy.
It'll be a big service. So, yeah.
I may begin the 11 o'clock message by saying, what do y'all want to talk about?
Yeah, that's right. What lifted for you? Let's read the scripture.
We were talking the other day, Me Church, that video. It's like, we'll start when you're ready at Me Church. What do you want to talk about? Inside joke.
Oh, inside. Dear.
All right.
Well, part two. What do you have for part two today, Aaron?
I thought you said you were coming up with something.
No, that was a couple weeks ago, and I clearly did not do that while you were gone. But I did admit to that. I admitted my fault that I did not come up with anything while you were gone.
I got something we could talk about.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Might get us banned from social media. But I finally on Monday, I had an opportunity to watch that movie that's out there called What is a Woman?
Yes, by Matt Walsh.
Yes, and it's fascinating to me the way that we are having a battle of language.
Right.
A linguistic battle.
Yep.
And it's almost like this is where Satan wants to try to create all the confusion is in it. So the very thing, it's interesting that Jesus is described in John chapter 1 as the Word. And the Logos, right? So it's this like this culmination of truth. And so there's obviously if God were to bring the truth, he would bring the truth through the Word, right? So whether it's the Word of God, this Bible that we have, or whether it's the Word encompassing in Christ and all these things. But it's interesting now how we live in a battle over words and how, you know, people want to change definitions or they want to somehow try to make things ambiguous. So when you ask a very simple question, what is a woman?
Right.
The vast majority of people can't answer that question. And oftentimes it's like, well, what is a woman to you? You know, it's like, well, you know, it's pretty basic.
Right.
It's a pretty basic thing. You got men, you got women. And, you know, we're not talking about anything outside of that fact. We're just talking about biologically we have men and women. But we're reaching a point in society where we can't even say that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an illustration of the confusion mm-hmm. of a society that drifts away from God. It goes right back to Romans chapter 1.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it literally play out before our eyes, and it's playing out in a way that you're just scratching your head.
Right.
And you just can't.
Yeah.
You just can't believe it.
Yep.
So... Yeah,
so as Christians, we're called to hold the line, right? Like, speak truth.
Well, which is the truth of Scripture.
Yeah,
right?
You know,
absolutely.
You have a governor who came, like, a governor of a state that came out and won't even call mothers, you know, won't even refer to women as mothers. I won't say the term. Did you hear this? Well, so there's like this movement that you can't, they're shying away from the term mother and father. And instead, they're trying to make it more ambiguous. And so they'll use like this less gender-specific term.
Like parent?
Like menstruating parent.
Oh, that's weird.
Or non-menstruating parent.
That's really weird.
It is weird. But you know what? This is the path we're going down.
It is.
And I just want to urge Christians not to give in to that.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I don't urge people to be jerks. And to be rude and to be malicious and mean, but at the same time, you don't have to sacrifice the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody wants to chastise me for using the term mother, sorry,
mm-hmm.
Or father or man or right. woman, if you want to chastise me for using that, sorry.
Right.
I will respect whatever you do. I strongly disagree. And I'm not going to ever advocate for the incarceration mm-hmm. of people that want to use certain language, even though that's being done now
mm-hmm.
On the flip side. But I would say that I am not going to surrender the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so hold the line.
Right.
Be strong, stand tall.
That's right. That's right.
And I think that's where Christians have to be.
Yeah.
But it's just... I mean, never in my lifetime
mm-hmm.
did you ever think we'd be here. And yeah. It makes you wonder where we'll be 10 years from now.
Right. Well, that's what I've heard it said, that what one generation tolerates, the next generation accepts. And so it's just this picture that if a generation tolerates and just like, oh, what are you going to do anyway or whatever, that the next generation, it's become normative and they just accept it as... this is just how it is, and this is truth, and that's just not the case. And I think that, you know, I bring that up because I think that all these things that you're talking about, but there's also a push to make it a normative lifestyle for our kids.
Right.
And there's also a battleground there.
Sure.
And so it's one thing for adults to be like, that's ridiculous. Like, why wouldn't you use the term mother? But then it's another thing, like, what books are being used in your school system?
Absolutely.
And what influences are coming at your kids? Yeah. And my personal opinion is that I think a lot of it depends from a parenting perspective. How do you interact with that? But, you know, I think it makes a big difference when your kids are younger. I think as a parent, we have a responsibility to protect our kids and to mm-hmm. teach them biblical truth and to have
counteract.
Them in a truthful environment.
Yeah. Counteract the lies.
Right. But then as they grow older, I also think that, you know, we have two teenage boys right now, and they're encountering these things in the world in ways that I didn't when I was that age.
Yeah.
And I feel like to shelter them like you would a young child is not appropriate. So with that, it's having conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking to them about things. It's helping them process life through a biblical worldview. You know, when they come home with questions, it's, what do you think about that? Well, what's the Bible say about that?
Right.
And what's the Word of God say about that? And so I just think that as parents, as grandparents, as people who work with kids, it's just, it's so important. It's so important.
I think that the church, in so many ways, when it comes to kids, the church is even way more important
mm-hmm.
than it is, because that's where they are, that's their community,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to be a community of faith.
Right.
And so you have people, it's not that we're all like-minded. There's a diversity, but at the same time, we should all be a people that acknowledge that there is a truth,
right,
and that it's revealed in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part that they're not going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Out in society. They're right. just not going to get that. The other thing I would say, too, is I would urge people to understand that when you're engaged in a conversation with somebody that's going down this path,
right,
that is not somebody who is trusting the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is not to turn adversarial against them. The answer is to just understand, but try to witness to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And try to invite them into the truth,
mm-hmm.
into that relationship with Jesus. You know, Scripture talks about a veil,
mm-hmm.
that's over your eyes, and then, you know, when the law is read, there's this veil, and only the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, can remove that veil. And the way in which God works through that is the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, you know, you don't, as Christians, don't get so offended,
yep.
that you become adversarial.
Mm-hmm.
You want to engage people in conversation and work Jesus into the conversation.
Right.
And invite people to that new life.
But there also may be a point where you just have to say, listen, you're not going to agree with anything I say. I can see that.
Right.
And I'm not going to agree with anything, so I'm just going
to
walk away.
There is
away.
A point in the conversation where it does become toxic and it's mm-hmm. time to walk away. It's yep. not, there's no benefit to it. There's no doubt. And I will also say that all of that is an adult. It's not, children should not be. I used to say to my kids, you know, you're barely keeping your head above water. The last thing you need is to hold on to a boat anchor. So you get yourself to a place of strength first, mm-hmm. and then you can right. be in a place to support and help others.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel very strongly about that. And now my kids at very young ages are in mm-hmm. strong places, and they are yeah. serving and helping others.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I wouldn't recommend that you know, when you're an adolescent and you're trying to figure life out,
mm-hmm.
last thing you need is to also be trying to carry somebody else who's making all the wrong
mm-hmm.
decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that fine line there. And I know it's hard for parents,
mm-hmm.
especially when they are surprised to find out some of the things being taught to their children.
Right.
So
yep.
God bless you out there. But, you know, we are in a war
mm-hmm.
and we yep. need to just continue to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, interesting.
Yeah. Good part two, Steve. Way to go.
Interesting times we live in. So, but never does a light burn brighter
That's
than when
exactly
it's in a
right.
dark room.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Yep.
So,
and again, I talked about the numbers earlier of overdose deaths, suicides. You know, you could probably throw opioid use in there as well as we drift further from biblical morality mm-hmm. as a culture. How is it surprising to us that we see these other things increase? And at some point, the hope is that other people see that.
I was listening to a podcast, and they're talking about suicides, and you know, suicide exponentially is increasing, especially among veterans and
mm-hmm.
all these things. And the question was raised, why is that? And the answer that was kind of is that we are systematically moving away from all of our coping mechanisms in the past. Family, faith, mm-hmm. family, friendships. You know, we're just so easily offended, and we just go to these new places, and we're running away from adversity. And, you know, mm-hmm. God has given us this entire support structure that in a healthy spiritual environment, it should be present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church itself, it's a community of faith.
Mm-hmm.
These are all coping mechanisms with the hardships of life. And if you're a person that's isolating yourself, if you're a person that is resorting to medications to cope, you're moving away from all the natural coping mechanisms that God has given us. I'm not anti-medication, so please don't hear me that. But you should be in community.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You should be cultivating an inner faith mm-hmm. in God. You should be, you know, you should have good friends,
yeah. mm-hmm.
people that you can trust, godly people that can continue to give you good wisdom and good advice as you are struggling through life and all of these systems, your family, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, even federal programs have started to recognize the importance of several key area coping mechanisms. And I forget the three, but one is physical exercise.
Physical exercise.
And another one they're calling, you know, spiritual involvement and the church.
Yeah.
Right.
And
prayer.
Prayer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big coping mechanism.
And so, I mean, even a federal program is recognizing the need, essentially for church.
Well, they look at those who succeed in changing their lives and those who don't.
Right.
And you know, and we have the data. I hate to even bring this up, but you know, they even analyze these school shooters. Mm-hmm. They analyze we have all the data, and there's a theme that runs through it. And and what they find is that all of these coping mechanisms that for so many years, decades, hundreds of years that we took for granted in our society, these are all breaking down.
Right. Mm.
And people are walking away from them. Mm-hmm. And the result is it's just brokenness. It's emotional brokenness and confusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think from a parenting perspective, it's we're letting others parent our kids. And by others, I mean movies, video games, other influencers. And that's dangerous ground because one of the common themes that runs, and I'm going back to the school shooters, if you listen to the people that have studied it, one of the common threads or themes is the propensity the attraction of violent movies and violent video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so as parents, you know, I grew up playing some violent video game, but it was like...
I grew up playing Pong.
But it was like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, you know.
Space Invaders.
It was, you know, I was kind of right before that Call of Duty era, but... Yeah.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I totally agree. And if you are so busy that the easiest thing for you to do with your kids is just prop them in front of a video screen, you're asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you have to know that the world is not godly.
Right.
So the vast majority of things that are going to be presented. And that you need to know that as a person, the vast majority of things that's going to be offered up to you is not edifying. It's not strengthening.
Right.
So you just have to be very cautious and very careful. Mm-hmm. And you have to be, at a minimum, balancing all of that out with the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Otherwise, eventually, you're going to start to go, oh, you get this numbness, or you get this depression or anxiety or whatever it is, this worry that trickles in there. And it's like, you know, there's so much more to life.
Right.
Yep.
I'm kind of enjoying, by today's standards, being somewhat of a dinosaur. So, we already talked about 23andMe, how I have a lot of Neanderthal in me.
Yes.
Well, Trish and I went and saw Top Gun Maverick.
Oh yeah.
Back to the 80s. You want to talk about nostalgia?
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh yeah.
And it just brought back feelings and memories.
Why do you think I'm wearing aviator sunglasses?
There you go.
Nice. Nice. You want me to call you Mav?
I'm giving everybody an opportunity to see what they look like when I talk to them. What would your call sign be? That'd be a good question.
There you go.
If you were we know Marcy's would be Rev.
Rev. Yep.
Oh.
Oh, well. Moving on.
Moving on. Announcements.
Hey, announcements.
And I'm doing announcements for Marcy because she forgot her bulletin today.
I did not have a bulletin today, and you had a bulletin.
I got you covered.
You were like, hey, I got it. I'll do announcements.
I got you covered.
I was like,
I want to start by just giving a huge thank you.
Yes.
A huge thank you to the summer camp team, volunteers, all the people that.
It takes a lot of people. And it's every night of the week last week, Monday through Thursday. And so they were here every night. And
even the decorations, like those take time.
I know. Yep. It does.
They take time to make. Like, I think Michelle did a lot of them, Michelle Van Coten. And then after church on Sunday, we spent time
setting
all that stuff
up and getting it all ready and moving chairs. Yep. No, it takes a lot of people, a big team,
and we're thankful
for all the people who pitched in and helped in different ways and served. And
we served a lot of kids that don't go to church.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah. And Trisha shared in announcements on Sunday too, how she had a child in her group and she was like, I had just met this child. And he was like, I want to give my life to Jesus. Yeah. And so, this you know, when you hear stories like that and, you know, you think about people who are serving and giving sacrificially and it's like, it's so worth it. That will have impact in that child's life forever. Mm-hmm. And so it's just worth it. It's all worth it.
All worth it.
I think a big part of spiritual revival is just everything we talked about in the last segment. There's going to be this awakening that there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And people are going to start coming, looking for the truth.
Right.
And mm-hmm. looking,
feeling empty and feeling lost and everything they've tried to fill with isn't working.
And how that young person's life,
something in Jesus,
growing up with Jesus in your life, how different is his life going to be?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what it's all about. That's why we're here.
It absolutely is. Yep. So big thank you. Thank you to everyone who helped.
Keep seeking.
Yep.
Keep inviting and we'll keep welcoming.
Absolutely. Amen.
All right. Some of the happenings going on around the church. We had the Spirit-led work ministry this past Monday. That occurs once a month. So stay tuned for July for the next one of that. Don't give the enemy a seat at the table.
Yeah, we started that class last night. Yes.
If I didn't make that first class, can I get to the second class?
You sure can. Okay. Yes. I don't know if registration's still up online, but it's not online. Okay. So if you are interested in joining and you did not get to register, you could at least call the office and then I'll send out an email and get you the information that you would need to jump in on week two. And
there you
so
have
that
it.
Would be perfectly fine. I think they still have materials available at Choices Uptown on the square. And so you could still jump in, but there that window does close because otherwise you're going to be reading the whole book by the end. So, well, yes.
How does the window close?
The window's closing.
Sideways windows.
That's right.
She has all sliding windows, sideways windows.
I do actually have sideways windows in our front room.
There we go. There we go.
See, they close this.
It's Wednesday, Marcy, and you know what that
Wednesday.
Means.
There's no youth here tonight, but you can be praying for our high schoolers on the mission trip.
That's not where I was going.
I know. Women's ministry.
Yes,
is actually
that's where
tonight.
I was going. It's Wednesday.
So we do have women's
so
ministry tonight.
Everyday theology.
Yes, but we do need to put in a little plug for our high schoolers. Pray for our high schoolers.
And do pray for you.
Theology.
Yep. Women's ministry is meeting on Wednesday during the summer instead of
and that starts
typically
tonight.
Thursday. And it does start tonight.
Yep.
Yes.
So come join us. It's
Lots
not too late.
People
you can show
signed up for that. It's going to be a great class.
This Sunday, we're going to have Celebration Sunday. We've talked about that a little bit.
Oh, you forgot men's breakfast. Men's breakfast is on Saturday, right?
It's not. Yes. It's not on here.
Well, it is. So... Right?
It's not Kathy's on here, but it
yes.
is
it
on
is.
Saturday.
That's why I'm here, Aaron. I'm here to help you with all the things that you miss and forget. Just like you help me every
right.
other week.
My helper. Marcy's my helper. Thanks. So
men's breakfast
is Saturday.
7
a.m. Typically, they have someone who shares a testimony at those, mm-hmm. and those are always really good. And there's food and fellowship.
Probably bacon.
So, probably bacon.
The question is, will it be
bacon,
the way Steve likes
sausage,
it?
Bacon, sausage, eggs, pancakes.
Oh, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. It's still on the website. So you can register. Starts at 7. Breakfast starts at 7. Sorry. I feel
right
like
on.
I'm jumping all over the place right
you
now.
You are jumping all over the place.
Yep.
All right.
Celebration Sunday.
Moving on. We've already talked about that.
Celebration Sunday?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the podcast.
Well, okay.
Who's doing announcements? Is it you or is it me? Do you want me just to give you this?
Aren't you impressed that I know it in my head? Like, I don't even need your paper.
Okay.
Celebration Sunday, 9 and 11.
9 and 11. All right. But the majority of them are going to be at 9. It's going to be packed. It's going to be good.
It's going to be
baptisms,
great.
Professions of faith, new members, rededications. It's all
the
just a joy to take in. So, congregational meeting. If you're a member, please come to that. After the 11 a.m. service on June 26, which is a Sunday, all are welcome that are members to be voting on new consistory members.
Yes.
So that's elders and deacons.
If you can't make it to that meeting, you can stop in the office ahead of time and do a vote by paper yet this week. But
we'll also have some information
that window is being limited.
Got some exciting things going on.
We do have some exciting things going on. Yeah. So it will be an informational meeting as well as voting. So we're excited for that.
Can't wait. coming up, Operation Finding Freedom, July 1st. That starts at 7. If you're a veteran, you're invited to that. Please invite another veteran It's a good time to gather and just have fellowship with one another. And Kirk will be leading us in a class on that. And I actually won't be there because it's my daughter's birthday.
Aw, so happy birthday.
She'll be turning 11. Getting so old. That's my baby girl.
I know they grow fast.
I know. Yeah. Hope for Hurting Parents. The next class for that is on Sunday, July 3rd at 6 p.m.
I think that date got moved. I think it's the 10th.
Marcy thinks that date got moved.
I do. I think that they're not meeting on the 3rd because it's the 4th of July weekend. And so they're meeting
if you
the
want more information,
second
call
weekend
the church.
Of July, although it is usually the we'll first Sunday in July. So I think it's July 10th.
Okay. We think it's July 10th. Call the church for more details.
First Sunday in July that's not on a holiday weekend.
That's a safe answer, Aaron. Call the church office for more details.
It is. I'm all about safety. Kingdom Builders couple study is going to be coming up. Those are going to be on Thursdays through July. And I think they're going to be going through a Ruth study.
They are.
And that's for couples. And that's kind of exciting. So 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursday evenings in the Discipleship Center here. And this is a really exciting announcement. Little Sparks is going to be starting up Sunday, July 10th, 17th, 24th, and the 31st at the 9 a.m. service. So if you have a kiddo going into kindergarten, we have a very special time for them. Or preschool.
Preschoolers and going into kindergarten.
Little Sparks goes all the way back to when we used to call our service the Ignite service.
Ignite 1 and Ignite 2, and then we had Little Sparks.
So I like the name because it always makes me think back to, the Ignite service.
That's
and the Little Sparks.
That's
I want to show you why I'm excited for Little Sparks. This is my handwriting. You see that, right? This is my wife's handwriting. You know why my wife had to write? Is because we had to do a potty break in the middle of the service. So love my son. But
oh, yeah, I know.
He has a small bladder.
I'm waiting to see if he gets there. Otherwise, I'll tell him.
What?
We're waiting to see if you have... There's one more thing that you haven't said yet. Photography
about,
class.
About
is it on your
sparks?
List?
No.
So photography class. So Marlis Potma is leading a photography class, and it starts next week, Monday, June, I want to say 27. Yes. Is that right? Monday, June 27. And so it's looking at combining faith and photography, and
that'll be
it's
cool.
It's going to be a neat class. So it's right. Kind of fun that you know, she's taking the hobby that she has, and I think we've talked about before, too. Her photos are on display right now at the Newton Family Restaurant. So if you go over to the Newton Family Restaurant, you can see Marlis's pictures on display over there, and
cool.
She's going to be leading that photography class, and I think it's going to be good time. So,
a couple more announcements. If you're a camper and you like to camp, you can check out the Wazy Camp out at Red Rock in July. Where would they go to find more information about that?
They could call the office.
Call the office. Yes. That's a safe answer.
That is a safe answer. Or you could talk to Heather Cordes, but...
Heather and Ken.
If you aren't
sure
how to get a hold of Heather Cordes, call the office.
Yep.
So,
all right. You can also check out our plugged in guide that Marcy put together.
Yeah, I don't have one with me today, but
she does not.
It's an amazing little spiral bound book with everything going on in the summer.
That's right.
With a disclaimer that there could be extra things that pop up that we just add. So,
kind of like the announcements in the bulletin.
Yes, kind of like the announcements in the bulletin.
And I have one more announcement. It's about the July 4th parade. So we did have a registration. That was for the purpose of getting the correct size of t-shirts. But if you want to still join us for the 4th of July parade, please come. Wear one of your old way t-shirts or current way t-shirts and walk with us in the parade. We're going to be handing out candy, which is another piece I want to add. We still need more candy. And we're going to put together a video here in the next couple of days to ask for donations of hard candy. No chocolate, so
chocolate will melt.
Little suckers,
it is delicious.
Jolly Ranchers, Laffy Taffy, stuff like that. So, and we've got little cool magnets with calendars on them that we're going to hand out too.
No,
no.
You need to do the QR code.
Oh, they're still waiting on
more information to come about that.
We'll have something. So anyway, let us know if you can bring more candy. That'd be great.
Or
if
you want to join us,
or just drop it off.
That's right.
Or if you want to join us on July 4th, please come. It'll
be
good.
Bring your
candy. I think I'm gonna drag a kid in the wagon.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let him toss candy.
Are you sure?
That is visual.
Are you sure that the kid is gonna stay in the wagon?
He's just laying on the ground, and I'm dragging.
Drug behind a wagon.
Maybe you should put the candy in the wagon.
Well, I'll put it in front of him.
And let the kid walk. And throw candy. Yeah. Except you can't throw candy. You can lightly toss candy.
I figure if he's in the wagon, I can at least direct, you know, I can be right next to the crowd.
Remember the first year, didn't we run out of candy halfway
through? Yeah, we did.
You got to ration it out.
You do. Because you have this much for the first half and this much for the second half. You got to
spread it out
for
the whole parade route.
Yes.
We'll have to find the halfway point and know what half of our candy is.
That's right. Yep.
And we're also going to have a tent set up on the north side, I think around the medicine shop, where members from our community meals team is going to be passing out water and icy pops for kids and maybe a few other snacks.
Big kids. Big kids get icy pops too.
Are you a big kid?
I don't know. Do I get an icy pop?
I'm sure you can convince them to give you an icy pop.
Depending on the weather, icy pops would be nice. If it's hot that day, everybody will want an icy pop.
That's right.
So we're excited.
Yeah, it's going to be
good.
Great. Good
that
outreach opportunities for our community.
Yep. That's all I have.
Well, good.
Anything else to...
Oh, first Mondays with Mama is the first Monday of every month, but they're meeting the 11th of July instead of the 4th of July because the 4th is a holiday.
There you have it.
Oh, and then the pool party is also coming up in July.
15. July 15th. So get it on your calendars. July 15th. Pool party. Going to be at Maytag Pool. That's always fun.
Yeah, hopefully it's hot and we need ice cream.
Man, it seems like it's almost always cold. Was last year cold or hot?
I think it was
it seemed
hot.
It seemed like we've had a lot of years where we've reversed our July and our Junes.
Yeah.
So June is more like the old July and July is more like June.
Yeah.
Has been. But we had one pool party one year where didn't we have to serve hot chocolate?
Yeah, I know. Yes. That's what I'm saying is that it's been cold and the kids are just like, we don't care. Their lips are blue and they're like, boo.
Shivering.
Kids are always looking for any excuse to go swimming.
Swimming and it's all good. But
I think
adults
it was
are on
cold
the side drinking
year.
Hot chocolate. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, that concludes another episode of the podcast. Thank you, Kathy, for
episode
filling in.
Thank you, Kathy.
And as always, just a highlight of my week being with you two. And
it's pretty fun.
That's the highlight of your week.
You know what? I just get so
clearly
filled.
Not the highlight.
So you're
of
saying
Steve's.
It's all downhill from here for you?
I'm not going to say that because I go home every night and my family is there. So. Okay.
Good save, Aaron. Good save.
All right. Good.
Well, thank you. God bless you guys. We hope to see you this weekend.
Have a great week.
Bye.